from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to this week's From Scratch. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
This week, dear listener, we are going to talk about the Deloitte Human Capital Trends Report 2019. It's a feature of the podcast to talk about this particular research. I think we actually like it a lot. Would you say, Nigel?
Yeah, I'd say we like it a lot. We find it very illuminating and it's challenging too. Yeah. So yes, we like it a lot.
And we are not in pay to Deloitte for featuring this, I hasten to add.
If only, Martin.
Only.
We're never in pay to anyone, unfortunately.
No, that is a challenge for us. So if you want to sponsor the podcast, you know where to go. So 2019, nearly 10,000 executives, HR and business executives have been surveyed, and the survey gives us the top 10 human capital trends for the year ahead. And those trends are topped by learning.
I'll read you the quote, because it's quite an interesting quote. It says, our top-rated trend for 2019 is the need to improve learning and development. 86% of respondents to our global survey rated this issue important or very important, with only 10% of respondents feeling very ready to address it. Why are we seeing such high levels of concern?
Well, if I knew that, I'd give you the answer very quickly and we could all go away and do it and then everything would be fine. But of course, this is a hugely complex area, as you and I both know, and as anyone who works in L&D or HR or in any part of the business knows, this stuff is a lot harder to do for various reasons. So Nigel, come on, you've been around the block, so to speak, when it comes to learning and development in large organisations. Why is this? Why does it continue to be such a difficult thing?
Well, I think the clue is in the chapter heading in the Deloitte report. The chapter heading is learning in the flow of life. And you can extrapolate that to be learning in the flow of work. And the problem is that most traditional learning and development activity is learning in the interruption of work and interruption of the flow of life. So it's almost like learning is the blockage in the outlet system. It doesn't encourage the flow. It doesn't speed up the flow. It actually gets in the way of the flow. And I also think that coupled with that is a growing awareness in organizations that they're not developing fast enough. They're not developing their staff fast enough. They're not moving their ideas along fast enough to keep pace with changes in the environment. So in a fast-moving, contradictory, bizarre external environment with lots and lots of challenges, to have a workforce that can only learn when they're extracted from the flow of work and the flow of life is just not fit for purpose anymore. So saying learning in the flow of life or learning in the flow of work, that is not a trivial thing to deliver. And it requires rethinking learning and development, its purpose, its methodology, and its delivery. And the point is that most L&D operations aren't equipped to deliver that, hence the dissatisfaction, hence the fact that it's bubbling up to the top of the issues confronting senior executives. Because this is what this is a report of. This isn't an L&D report. This is a human capital trends report. What are chief executives worried about in terms of their talent and their movement forward? Learning, number one.
And I think there is some detail that shakes out of that, which I think is also quite interesting. So there's some interesting data here on leadership, which continues to be a problem. So I think that's slightly more granular. I think what you're talking about is the bigger picture of how L&D is conceived in the organisation. It's like, what is its vision and purpose and where does it fit? I think it's a huge area, and you've, you know, elaborated that really well. And I think that is elaborated in this report. But at a more granular level, leadership programs just aren't fit for purpose. Less than 10% thought their company's current leadership programs were effective in preparing leaders to move rapidly into the digital economy.
So yes, there you got your finger on a number of things. But the first finger about leadership is rapidly. And many leadership programs are the opposite of rapidly. You get in the pipeline, we say, Martin, you have talent, we'll put you down for this rapid executive promotion program that will kick in 9 months or a year or 2 years or 3 years. The program takes 6 months, and when you come through that program, it's not rapid, and it needs to be rapid. And the second thing is that the business environment is changing, and we're still using leadership models from the past. So we're equipping the young, budding talent, Martin Cousins, to be a great success in a company that disappeared 5 years ago. And therefore, Martin comes out of all of that feeling deeply frustrated and utterly unequipped to lead in this current environment. So leadership programs are having to be rebuilt, rethought through, and re-engineered. And that is obviously a key part. If you can't get the leadership aligned, what hope have you got for the rest of the organization?
And there is one other element here. And thank you for the compliment about the young Martin Cousins. I'll take that. There's this piece about skills. So if L&D is going to be good at leadership development, it's also going to be good at a whole range of other things. So we're talking about the granular stuff, not the big picture work, the learning in the flow of life. So when it comes to skills, the research shows that 28% of organisations rated themselves as effective at developing required skills, only 28%. So there's the whole talent management, talent mobility agenda, to which learning is a really, really key part and driver. And yet that remains a huge challenge for organizations.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And again, it's about speed, velocity, the inability to keep up with changing needs. I think there's a big issue now about generative skills. In other words, creating a workforce that is competent and confident about their own learning, as opposed to focusing on, we'll teach you how to do this when this changes and is less relevant 18 months down the track or even 6 months down the track. So yes, all of that, it's all caught up in this same point, increasing velocity, the need to think more rapidly and adapt more rapidly in a kind of model of learning, which is fixed. And it's just not working. And everyone can see that now.
I think that's a good place to finish for this week.
I do. It's a big challenge.
It's an interesting report. I think it's, and I think we have said this in the past with research, but it's a good one to hold up to the business. It's that putting the mirror up and saying, well, okay, where are we against some of these things? And it really should or could be a prompt to be discussing the issues with senior stakeholders.
Yes. Taking
it right to the top of the business, because how learning is conceived in the business has to change from, you know, what you're saying, what this research is saying. And that is a conversation that has to start at the top, I presume.
I think so. It has to start at the top, but it has to be listened to all the way through the organization. And that includes L&D. They have to listen to what the messages that are coming out strongly now from across the globe about the need to be in the flow of life, in the flow of work, and not separate from it. Great place to stop. So, Martin, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Indeed, Nigel. Thank you very much. From scratch.